We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, so here's the Department of Player Safety 366 days ago. Never are players allowed to retaliate in an illegal fashion. This was a forceful and illegal hit delivered to a defenseless opponent for the purpose of retribution and message sending. Such plays will not be tolerated. That was the Wingles cadre exchange. Game one last year. A year later, he does it again. Unbelievable. And we're talking about it with you, 617-779-7937. How long should Kadri be out for?
The NBC guy said 10 games.
He did?
NBC said 10 games.
I heard that, yeah. And it's hilarious because it's almost the exact same situation, not even in terms of on the ice, but like in terms of the situation. Third period, I think they were down 4-1 last year, or 3-1
this year. It was 3-1. I just looked it up, yeah.
Okay, and then 3-1 this year? Yeah.
Yep.
So, wild. Good for Kadri.
He's learned his lesson, obviously. He did come back last year for games 5, 6, and 7. Calvin and I were trying to reflect what impact he had later in that series a year ago. They did win games 5 and 6, so he obviously had some impact. But they're going to miss him. They don't have much center depth beyond Tavares and Austin Matthews. And even Matthews right now is in some question. So, if they're a two-line team going forward, that's tough. But the Bruins have some injuries, too.
I mean, I know Kalman said he wants him in the series to face the music, but he was one of their best players yesterday. Yeah. So I'm fine with him being out of the lineup, if we're being honest.
But what I'm saying is if he's out there, Chara's going to beat him to a pulp. He's not going to be able to play. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
But I don't know if I want that for the Bruins, to be honest with you.
It's only 5 minutes. That's the beauty of hockey. He gets to obliterate him and get 5 minutes in the box.
John Tavares was one of a couple Leafs players who thought the knee-on-knee prior to that was dirty.
Oh, God. You're not going to play Tavares on, I hope, because that'll put me right to sleep. That will finally put me to sleep.
I'm just going
to
read his quote. We thought it was knee-on-knee. He was asked whether it was dirty. So we thought it was. Luckily, there was no serious injury. Something like that could be very serious. It's not easy to turn the other cheek. This is Tavares after the game. And the only thing Babcock said was the refs let a lot of stuff go. Now, Pete, last night you had said of the knee-on-knee hit, a bad hit with no intent.
Yeah, I stand by that. I don't think DeBrusk was going for the knee. It was an ugly result.
But a bad hit, though, like it should have been a penalty,
well,
you thought.
If it was delivered ideally, it would have been a good hit. But he hit him with the knee first, and I think that part of that is on Kadri for trying to avoid it and trying to jump out of the way. I think that's where the knee-on-knee happened. But as it happened, I think that's a play that sometimes gets penalized for knee on knee.
So you would have preferred to see the refs whistle that, at least just a 2 minute minor. So you agree?
I would not have had a problem with it if they whistled it.
I mean, there's a kneeing call, right? They could have done it,
and also because it's happening in live and full speed, it looked knee on knee, right? That's what everyone's first tweet is probably after that happens.
You also call tripping there too,
right? So you. If you're watching it live, you don't have the super slow motions. I can see them calling a penalty there.
But he has the puck. I mean, they're both reaching for a puck. It's right. Sort of a 50-50 play. Like you say, Kadri leaps and tries to avoid it, kind of leaps into him a little bit. I just thought it was incidental, but the instant reaction was not only a penalty should be called, there was some DeBrusk should be suspended for it, which is crazy.
But you know what Don Cherry would say about that? Stop whining.
I guess.
I think it's more like Star Warner. I think the biggest thing to look at for DeBrusk is his positioning when that happened, because his weight was on his front leg, and
which is how it has to be. If you're going to lay a check into somebody, though, right? You have to sort of.
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying. He was going for the check. He wasn't extending the knee,
right?
Because in that situation, if he's trying to take out his knee, that's a good way to blow out your own knee. So I feel like there was no intent there. And honestly, how would there be intent there? How quickly? Did you see how quickly that happened coming out of the box? That whole sequence took about 2 seconds.
Yep. He has no history of anything even close.
The only reason why anybody is questioning that is because of the stuff that happened in the first period,
right,
and the stuff
exactly.
that happened in game one.
Yeah,
if it was any other
history,
player
yes.
other than DeBrusque, nobody would be talking about this.
Right. 617-779-7937. Freddie in New Hampshire is pretty much checked in every week. He's no whiner. We'll see what he thinks about the hit.
You better have something nice to say about David Backes.
Fred, Kalman stayed up all night for you. Would you say thank you, please?
Thank you, please. last week, I got to apologize. I did the Tyler Seguin. I overslept, and it wasn't even the same time zone. Anyways, you guys, what did we see last night? Wow, that was amazing. Okay, Backes, 12 minutes plus, and he has 7 hits. Yeah, I'll say something nice about him. That was, and then the assist in the first goal, the guy was on. But Pasta, what was he, a man possessed? What the heck last night? The guy got, 188 pounds, and he was slamming people all over the place. You just had, you know, that's why that is the greatest game going. That is the best sport in the world, what we saw last night. I mean, your energy level had to be, 100%. DeBrusque, his dad, I know his dad, he is proud of him, but DeBrusque last night, he took the Cadre egg. You know, I didn't even like those things when I got them for Easter. that frigging guy, just bring him back so we can pound him some more. That guy bothers me. You know, and the game last night was such a thing of beauty. I mean, the Bruins played like a Bruin. They took care of business, and they on both ends, and it was just something to see. I'm my heart's racing. I didn't sleep very good last.
Are they in control of the series, Fred?
Are they in control? No. One win does not make a series. You got to win all four. So what I want them to do is go and every game during all these series. If you got to get up 1-0, you're down 1-0. You get up 2-0, you're down 2-0. You play like that right to 60 minutes. And if you play like that, you're going to end up in June, we're having a parade, okay? But there's nothing's won yet. It's 1-1. We go up to Toronto, and beautiful city, love it. And we have to take care of business. We go with that mindset. If you go up 1-0, you're down 1-0. You
right.
go up 2-0, you're down 2-0. You know, today's Palm Sunday, and we get 2 hours. So Easter, we get 6.
We're working on it.
Yeah, but it starts at like 3 a.m.
You're going to do the.
It's 3 to 9.
You're in for the first hour, Fred.
It's all part of Dale Arnold's conspiracy to make sure no one ever hears any hockey talk that's not coming out of his mouth.
See you, Fred. Oh, good.
That's what it is with Dale?
Exactly.
I know. I always thought that about that guy.
Rest anyway. Up for tomorrow, Freddie.
I will.
They need you for the pregame motivational speech.
I think the highlight of that call is it sounded like there were people in the background. He has a family?
Yeah, I know.
Fred has a family.
I think you have to change your headline to the Bruins played like a Bruin.
Played like a Bruin. That's great. Pasta was hitting people.
Don't poke the bear.
Pastrnak had the critical turnover in game one, would you say? Some people were blaming DeBrusque for not handling it at the blue line, but it's sort of a flippant, lazy pass going wide.
Yeah, I don't know. Why was DeBrusque even out there?
That is strange.
I never
too.
Got an answer on that. I mean, Torrey Krug was out there. The pass was probably intended for Torrey Krug. DeBrusque basically intercepted it, so I never quite got what was going on there.
That leads to the penalty shot eventually and the martyr goal, which was the game winner. I wonder if Pastrnak had a talking to of sorts from Cassidy after the first game, or if he just whatever. He was motivated last night. It was obvious. He played much, much better.
You know what? They practiced the next day. That doesn't usually happen in the playoffs. Maybe early you will. It wasn't a bag skate. It was a hard, very focused practice on moving the puck and things like that. And clearly they had to get back to attention to detail and just play smarter. And that goes back to what we were saying. I think they did take it. I mean, Marchand even said it, so you can't argue it. He said we thought it was going to be easier than it was. And
does anybody feel like they're in control here? Because I certainly don't.
Nobody's in control of this thing because you don't even know who's going to be playing in the next game.
That's true.
Well, right. There's a couple factors here. First of all, if they lose Krug for the series, that's significant. I know people will say,
Logan Grizzly.
He's a liability, yeah, or what, which he can be, but can they win the series without Torrey Krug?
I think Grzelcyk is at the point he can handle that for this series, playing with Carlo second pair.
But then, the trickle-down effect, if Clifton's out too, then you're dipping into the campers.
As the series wears on, the third pair is going to play less and less. I mean, you already started the series, Babcock doesn't play his fourth line at all. I mean, the minutes are going to get cut back and cut back anyway. It's not going to matter. And Kampfer, if he's going to give you 8 minutes, he's going to give you 8 minutes, and that'll be fine. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, the Leafs have top-end talent. We've seen that. Mitch Marner, is he the best offensive player? Between Marchand and Pastrnak, he's good. He's right up there. He's in the conversation with all these guys. And the goaltending, to go there.
Here we go.
Pete gave, even after the loss, edge Freddie Anderson last night over Tuukka. It was a little veiled shot at Rask last night. You're praising Freddie Anderson after the Bruins win. So let's have at the Tuukka talk.
Well, I think it's pretty much a wash at this point. And I think that it's a similar situation where after game one, I feel like Freddie Anderson wasn't tested in game one. The Bruins didn't have enough of a sustained attack. And name me a couple of saves that Freddie Anderson made in game one.
I found one. I found the backhander from Hyman.
Congratulations for finding one save from 60 minutes. But yeah, I felt the same way about Tuukka. I mean, Tuukka had a really solid, I'll say he had a good game last night. But was he great? I don't think he was great. He was enough.
Speaking for the Tuukka Apologist Society, I can go through my pages here. I can find probably at least 5 asterisks, which means great save. And I think a lot of what you're saying is product of the fact that they played such a better sound defensive game. And the fact is, this is what goes back to people always complaining, oh, Tuukka doesn't do the Tim Thomas flips. He doesn't do the stand on his head. He doesn't make them. Because he doesn't have to. Bruins play defense in front of him, and he is excellent at anticipating and positioning himself. That is why this doesn't happen. Now, there are times that call for an acrobatic save that maybe he doesn't do those, but those are so few and far between that it's ridiculous to call for that. And so last night, I say there were three or four. Like you said, that it was basically a one-goal game if Nylander doesn't cough it up. These are pressure situations where he made some really excellent saves.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he didn't have good saves or anything like that. I'm saying that wasn't a game that they needed to rely on Tuukka.
Right.
And
although in the third
period,
when the Leafs were coming on and they got the goal,
made some nice saves,
and the momentum was going their way. That was if they got the next goal, everyone was going to start grabbing onto their seats.
I just think at this point, after what I saw last night, I would probably have more faith, and I would put a little bit of an advantage in Freddie Anderson's corner if someone has to steal a game. Because Freddie Anderson was great last night. He made a number of unbelievable saves. And had that been a closer game, and like I said, it should have been a one-goal game. Had that been a closer game, Freddie Anderson had the potential to be a difference maker.
And I agree with that, actually, because no one's going to believe me because I didn't actually say it in public, but in my head, if the Bruins had lost last night, regardless of whether Tuukka had a hand in it or not, I was going to say to maybe change goalies just to change things up.
Wow.
If the Bruins had lost, but
well,
didn't happen.
Flip back to game one. There were two columns about Tuukka Rask. Despite the 4-1 loss, were three of them on a breakaway or an odd man break?
Well, you know, all this clickbait, should we even talk about it?
But fans, it's fans. There for a reason. People click on it for a reason. There are some fans who just defaulted to Rask needs to be an ace in those situations, come up with breakaway stops. It is amazing to me.
My favorite was, I mean, I love Fluto. I think Fluto's great, but I thought it was hilarious that in his intro paragraph for his article calling out Rask, it says, the task, albeit unreasonable.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
Are you kidding me? Well, if that's in the opening graph, why are you writing about this?
The headline is, when the Bruins needed big-time saves, Tuukka Rask could not deliver. Albeit unreasonable, it's one an ace has no choice but to address.
Whatever. Did you see Vasilevsky? I mean, we're talking about aces here, you know? Did you see Pecorino last year? Do you see all these guys? My God, even Pecorino went to the final. This is not the way it works in the playoffs anymore. It's a different NHL. The 930 save percentage in the playoff is not happening. This is 908, 910 at your best you're going to have.
The fact that Mike Smith might be the best goalie in the playoffs right now says that none of us know anything we're talking about. Yeah, he had a shutout in the first game. He was pretty good last night. He's been very, very good. Wild.
Pete was up blogging the Calgary game until 2:30 in the morning. That's why he.
But then he went to sleep.
Next level. I know.
So who's the tougher man here?
Yeah, you are. Yeah, Kalman has stayed up all night. Jared in the car next on Sunday Skate with Pete Blackburn and Matt Kalman. Hi, Jared.
Good morning. I'm glad you pointed out that the game was really only 2-1 until they got that gift. If I were Anderson, I would have decapitated.
Nice. I mean, really, more violence.
What a thing to do to your goalie, and in a game that they might have, you know, they might have won it. Won. I mean, they were not. They didn't quit at all, and they did pepper Rask a lot, and he did make some acrobatic saves in the third period. But the thing about him, which is really impressive, is that how many times he just takes it right in the middle of his body, and that's because he anticipates,
right.
Got the angle. He's so steady, and sure, we all love Tim Thomas, who's, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime series, you know, playoff goalie to watch, but I don't think, you know, Rask lasts for a long time, and if the defense doesn't let him down, he'll win the series.
Exactly.
Thanks, Jared. I would say, based on last year, Pete, with the third period in Game 7 that Freddie Anderson had, I can't give Freddie Anderson the edge in the series, but based on the first two games, he's been the better goalie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The past two games. I said coming into the series that I thought Freddie Anderson would be a reason that the Leafs lost. So far, he's looked very good.
So it's a coin toss. I mean, now we'll go back to Toronto, where the Leafs won that game 3 last year, 4-2. It was a close game. It was like 2-2, and then I think Matthews scored his only goal in the series in that game. He got loose, and you thought, okay, this is where he's going to break out, and it never continued. So that'll be a continuing theme going forward. Backes, now, he was in for game 2. Should he be like an every other game guy? I mean, he's making $6 million a year.
They don't have a choice right now, because even if DeBrusk is healthy and in there, you need to have a guy like the Backes in there to make sure no one's going for DeBrusk. Because, you know, look at that. If Kadri's out, the Bruins don't get at him. But if the Leafs really think that DeBrusk did something wrong, if DeBrusk is in there, does he have to answer for it? It could happen. So you need to have Backes in there to step in, because you don't want Jake DeBrusk putting his head on the line against Fred Gauthier or some nonsense like that.
Oh, that would drive Toronto crazy. If Backes fights again, he's become a goon in game 3.
It's a double whammy. You get Backes to fight to stand up for DeBrusk, and you get all of Canada grasping at its pearls that he's going to put his brand on the line.
Who was their columnist that wrote that? It was
Schultz. He was here.
You got to send something at Schultz right now. Backes is gooning it up in game 3. Be ready.
I think while you have the advantage and while you're in Toronto's head, you have to keep Backes in the lineup, because he maximizes your ability to really get under their skin and to test them mentally, because I think that this has the potential of being a very mentally weak team. I think that they showed it last night. They were complaining straight out of the gate as soon as the Bruins got physical.
Right.
And I know the sound that you played from Don Cherry, that was in the first intermission, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They were complaining right out of the gate. And it was great to see, because the Bruins weren't going to let up as long as that was happening. So, I think that as long as you can pressure this team, you have to do it.
And there were times,
but the risk is Backes becomes Backes, and he's.
But he did more than hit people in this game, and so you have to hope he can. You know, he spotted in for Coleman a lot of shifts with Krejci and DeBrusk. He's out there for the second faceoff if somebody gets kicked out, if it's Bergeron or Coyle get kicked out. He does so many other little things that, you know, clearly if he struggles, you cut back his minutes. That's all you have to do. It's not a big deal. But you need to have him in there for the presence, and you have to hope that the day off, I mean, he should be pretty rested. He didn't play a lot through the end of the season. And, you know, let's face it, the guy thrives on this type of year. He talks about it all the time. And he gets so jacked up. I mean, you know, whether it was loud last night or whatever you want to say, Scotiabank Arena is going to be the same, and he runs on adrenaline, that guy.
Which it felt more intimidating as Air Canada Center for some reason. You name it like a bank, and it's just,
I don't even know what they call these places anymore.
And Ken, you mentioned the fact that there's the risk that the Backes goes back to Backes, I think to answer that, you have to tell the top talent on the team, the top six, they need to score more. You need more results to make up for that, because like we've mentioned, or like I've mentioned a million times, this is a closer game than the scoreboard said last night.
Yeah, Bergeron has scored a couple here, but that line has been a lot quieter than a year ago. Much quieter. I mean, outplayed by Tavares in game 1.
And
good, not bad last night, but not dominant either. So they've come back to earth a bit. Chuck in Plymouth next on Sunday Skate. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to kind of change gears a little bit. Talk about Hedman Winkler's doppelganger, Ponzarelli. None other than John Tortorella. I love what he's doing to the Lightning. I mean, he won a cup there in 2004, beating up Oginla. And now they're down 0-2. And I don't know if you guys heard, or saw the F-bomb diatribe that he went on before the game. But, I mean, you want to talk about an axe to grind and have players play for their coach? I mean, that's the best story going on right now, man. I'm loving it. I wanted to hear you guys weigh in on that series. Is it over? What's going on?
Pete wrote at CBS Sports last night why the Lightning are going to 2-0 hold, Chuck. So he's written about this specifically. He's an expert. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I mean,
Chuck the blow by blow.
I think through the first two games, if you're a Bruins fan, if you're a Leafs fan, you look at what's happening, you are much less scared of this Lightning team because they look extremely, extremely soft. And I think that plays better into the Bruins' hand than it does into the Leafs' hand because of what we saw last night between these two teams. The Leafs are complainers, and the Bruins can play really tough. If the Bruins played the Lightning like they played the Leafs last night, the Lightning might fold.
But they tried that last year, and Backus got hurt and was gone for the series. And I mean,
it's not the same. They don't have all the same pieces as they did last year, or I mean, as they do this year. So I have more faith in this team going up against the Lightning, just because you can see what's happening to the Lightning as they're pressured, and their stars have folded. They have 0 points between Kucherov, Stamkos, and Point through two games, which is insane. Their special teams has been terrible. I think that This is a team that's going to be better, but as of right now, they've been pushed into a pretty dire hole by a Blue Jackets team that I don't think is all that good.
Well, this is the dream scenario if you're a Bruins fan. You want a long series, unlike last year when they rolled through the Devils, right? And they were plenty rested to beat you in five. So it's all shaping up nicely, even if they don't lose the series. So they're obviously dangerous, but... Tortorella, they were down 3-0 in period one. I'm thinking Tortorella's going to get fired, but now he's a genius, you know?
He called Tortorella Henry Winkler's doppelganger. My son, who doesn't know who the hell Fonzie is because he's 8 years old, thinks Tortorella looks like Abe Lincoln, so...
Well, who was Cooper? Somebody did a doppelganger.
Oh,
Cooper
was Michael Keaton for sure. Yeah.
I said that he was. I said that he was John from Garfield.
Oh, that's what it was. I thought you were John from Garfield.
Yeah, a little bit, but I always think he's Michael Keaton.
And hey, the good coaches in the conference ratcheting up. Florida just hires Quenneville for next year,
Coach Q.
So we're gonna have some interesting Atlantic Division play over the next few years. You can join us here on Sunday Skate 617-779-7937. Get back to the Kadri reaction. What's your thoughts on that? How long you should be out for? Who's in control of the series? The Tuukka reaction from Game One. We'll hear from David Backus last night in the locker room, the dressing room after the game. Backus talking about. His effort and what it was like to sit out Game One. That's coming up on Sunday Skate, presented by Star Market and Wise Snacks on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Sunday Skate with Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show and WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman. Sunday Skate is brought to you by Wise Snacks and by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins.
Thanks for holding through the break, Darcy, and welcome to the Dark Guy Show.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to give a big shout-out to the Leafs Nation. I'm a huge Leafs fan out here. Any team in the playoffs right now with a hot goalie, they can go all the way, right? So I think you got to really like the Leafs' chances now, knowing that, you know, anything is possible and getting that first win in Boston. And with having such a young, impressionable team, those kids now, they have the confidence. So tonight, if they come out of Boston with another victory, it's just the confidence of a team can happen so fast in the first round of the playoffs. And if you get out of there in an early, you know, 4 or 5-game series, you never know what can happen.
Well, Darcy, we appreciate your call today. I appreciate the support all the way from out in Calgary. Hopefully you call in again next week when we're talking about the Leafs taking on whoever they're going to be taking on in the second round.
I'm just a huge fan of the Leafs. So go Leafs, go, and hopefully you're planning the parade soon, you know?
All right.
What?
There's some TSN 1050 parade routes being planned.
That is not real.
That is 100% a parody.
That is a Rick Moranis SCTV character.
Oh,
that is
Calgary.
Not
Come
a
on.
Real
That's
person.
That's definitely real.
His name was Darcy? That is way too on the nose.
Go Leafs go, man.
He's Darcy and his dad's Gordy. Give me
also,
a break.
After Game One, citing like the hot goaltender as the reason why you're going to the Stanley Cup Final, you didn't even get tested.
That's true, not tested. Other than that backhand save on Heinen 5 minutes ago in period one. Pete Blackburn's here. Matt Calman's here. Sunday Skate, 2 hours today, presented by Star Market and Wise Snacks. We had a back and forth this week with Dale Arnold as well, the host of Dale and Keefe. Of course, he's your colleague. He's your book guy. We went at him last week and ripped him for the Ovechkin, Marchand. Ovechkin couldn't carry Marchand's jock comment, so then we were going back and forth. And the short leash stuff, too.
Yeah, Tuukka didn't have a short leash.
Not short leash. Dale responded to us, and he took a – I thought it was an uncalled-for shot at you, Calman. But here's a little bit of Dale going back at us this week.
If Toronto goes out and scores five goals in the first period in game one, yeah, you're probably going to make a goaltender change for that game.
Yeah.
But the idea that just because Yaroslav Halak's been good this year, really good, very good backup goaltender, that you're going to have a shorter leash on your starter, to me, is not correct. Because here's what happens. You have that short leash, and you yank it.
He's done.
How do you go back to him?
You don't. You can't.
So at that point, are you then deciding,
you're in on
you know
Halak.
What, Yaroslav Halak is our goaltender for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah.
Matt Kettleman co-wrote a really good hockey book.
I've heard about it. Actually, I've read it.
He's a real smart hockey guy.
I think
he's dead flat wrong.
Yeah, it seems wrong to me, too.
Dead flat wrong, and Keith just threw, I mean, also jumping on.
I wrote my response to them. It was on EEI.com. I mean, I don't know if they know how to read, but if they read it, that's ridiculous. Halak for.
Did Dale read his book before you wrote it for him?
Exactly.
I mean, the idea that you can't go to a different goaltender and go back to the other guy in the playoffs is insane.
Yeah,
it happens every year.
Maybe if you had, like, Ed Belfour or some maniac goaltender, but Tuukka Rask, it'll be... You know, water off his back. He doesn't care.
And you're all in on the short leash. You were ready to bench.
I was not benching for game three if they had lost last night. An advocate of why can't the goaltending system you use in the regular season work in the playoffs? If two games for one guy and one for the other worked, why wouldn't you maybe consider that? Unless the guy's so out of his mind. If Tuukka has two shutouts, yeah, you ride him. But why wouldn't you maybe think about going Halak, and then you have a fresher Tuukka Rask in game four, especially since you trust Halak and the team trusts him.
Yeah, I think if you have two goalies that prove themselves during the regular season, your only responsibility is to play the hot hand in the playoffs.
Toronto doesn't have that luxury, right? I mean, they're going to ride Anderson even if he stinks in this series.
Yeah. Well, they tried to exile the backup goalie, and it didn't work.
Sparks is back.
Yes. Sparks is back because Hutchinson's wife had a baby. Hutchinson did not have the baby. His wife did. A lot of media reporting that Hutchinson had the baby the other day.
Noted. It's good clarification.
Yeah.
Now, we've had some calls for long suspensions from the Kadri hit last night, but none longer than Eddie Olczyk. He was the guy. We tracked down the audio. Edzo saying he's going 10 games on this one. Here's what Eddie had to say.
Not if he should get suspended. No. How long should he be suspended?
Well, first off, it must be that area of the ice because that's exactly the same area of the ice last year when he hit Tommy Wingles. I say 10 games. Absolutely, without any hesitation, 10 games for that selfish play by Kadri. Yes, he took exception to the hit from Jake DeBrusk on his teammate Patrick Marleau. He hit him right into the turnbuckle. But when you cross-check somebody in the head like that, you're going to pay. And he has a history. He's been suspended four times. So for me, Jonesy, this is pretty easy.
You know, we throw 10 games out a lot. It's said a lot. And sometimes it's a reactionary thing. This is a 10-game suspension.
Wow, even Jones is for 10 games. Keith Jones?
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, I don't think that he gets anywhere near 10 games, I'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised at 5. I mean, I guess I wouldn't be surprised at 5, but that would be the max I would see. 10 games?
This is pretty egregious. I mean, this isn't like I said at the beginning of the show. This isn't a hockey play where you're trying to make a play on the puck and you get the guy in the head or you clip him. And this is intent to injure. They're saying 10. They're probably overreacting for NBC to get the clicks and get attention. Maybe it falls in the middle. Maybe it's 7 or 8.
Yeah, because I think there are a lot of things to consider here. And one is, obviously the intent. And two, the context of everything that happened in that game between DeBrusk and Kadri.
Right.
And three is the exact same explanation that they used for his suspension last year. And the same reasoning that they use for Kucherov and suspending him. It's a late game message sending play, and they don't tolerate that.
Right.
So those three factors are going to get you game on game on game, and I think you might end up with a significant suspension 5 to 7 to 8 games.
And I would actually just change your terminology just one bit to say it's not even a play.
Right.
It's not a play in
incident.
The game.
Yeah.
He wasn't carrying the puck and then got cross-checked in the head. This guy is standing there and boom. So,
well, Kadri signed for 3 more years for $4.5 million per year average value. If you're the Leafs and he, if let's say he's gone for the series and Toronto loses this series again, where they've had, I mean, it's open now. Tampa's down 2-0. This is a huge moment in Leafs history. They have a chance with Tavares signing to make a run at this thing. They've got some top-end talent. If he blows it for him again, what do you do with this guy? So, it becomes a Brad Marchand
debate.
They
might have no choice.
Yeah, I just said in the break that I would 100% get rid of that guy because there's just no way that you can trust a guy when it comes to the playoffs who has sabotaged your team 2 years in a row with stupid, selfish play because he can't control himself.
What do you think Kyle Dubas' spreadsheets say about this? did he predict this? Where's his spreadsheets
now? Well, he's
going to
be fired by Babcock.
I mean, this is a guy who built the team where Kadri's the only sandpaper on the damn team. He thinks he's going to win the cup with no sandpaper because he's got, you know, numbers crunchers coming up with the formula that's going to win the Stanley Cup. That's been 52 years they haven't won one. He's got the magic potion, and now he's going to trade that guy and not have any sandpaper on his team? I don't know.
Well, it's obvious Kadri can't change. Players have. Marchand has shown an ability to do it, although last year, it was a year ago, he licked somebody, so I guess
but
we shouldn't get too far ahead.
That's funny. It's not malicious.
Let's divide this. You know, the Department of Player Safety probably is begging for the days of worrying about the lick than all this nonsense that's going on in these games now.
But it is funny. But somebody asked Cassidy about Marchand last night. Well, just it didn't even apply, really. It's just like...
Well, I had people coming at me that's saying, like, how, like, you're a hypocrite. You have Marchand on your team. Yeah, and people here were criticizing Marchand when he did stupid stuff to take himself out of the lineup in important games.
And you know definitely what? But you know what, too? When you look back at the Marchand thing, Johansson last year, the elbow to the head, I'll never understand that. The whole defense of I was protecting myself, it makes no sense. And then even now, when they got Johansson, all of a sudden Marchand's like, it went from I was defending myself to, yeah, it was a stupid thing I did. Every other one of his plays has been something within the game that got out of hand in the heat of the moment. The low bridge of Berovetsky, the low batch of Salo. These are things.
Yeah,
these are plays
Matt
that happen.
Elbows,
like,
or,
the slew foots. These aren't like I'm going to go out of my way to tag somebody from behind.
Well, maybe the Johansson one is though. That's the one.
So when you say Marchand's been suspended 4 or 5 times, only one of them was something like that. That was so injury causing. This is Nazem Kadri twice.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, you know, the Wingles thing. Maybe he's this is. Whether he has the puck or not, whatever's going on, these are two ice. These have been predatory.
Right. Look at the isolation cam from Kadri last night. He's staring at DeBrusk for a good 3 to 4 seconds. You can see the wheels spinning in his brain. And then he goes.
Yep.
Which that blows my mind more than anything, that he had time to think about it,
right,
and he still decided that that's what he wanted to do.
You can't put it all on Kadri. First of all, he's got a coach, right? The coach is the highest paid coach in the league. Clearly getting out coached in that game matchup-wise, clearly he doesn't have his team under control. And this is the third year these guys have been in the playoffs. And with Don Cherry talking about them whining and the stupidity of Kadri, they acted like they weren't. They've never been in the playoffs before. It reminded me of the 08 Bruins when they hadn't been in the playoffs for a few years. A lot of guys, and they were playing Montreal, and Montreal would antagonize them, you know, whether it was Komisarek or Laperriere or whoever it was. They'd get on their skin. The Bruins would get retaliatory penalties. Lucic got a suspension. They're whining to the referees. I mean, this team, it wasn't just Kadri. You know, Gauthier is a fourth-line center. He's complaining. All these guys going out of their way. Hyman, you know, we've seen him do stupid stuff before. And it's like they're in disarray after just one game.
Right.
That they're in the lead in the series in a game where they didn't play necessarily great. And so, you know, you got to wonder, the whole team, how are they going to respond? And how is this coach handling this team?
I would say that's the biggest point. I would say Boston's in control of the series, what you just laid out there. Yeah. More than anything else, talent-wise, X and O's, yes.
Yeah, and the only reason that I don't blame Babcock in that situation, because there's 6 minutes left in the game. You're down by 2 goals. Kadri's been one of your best players.
Well, I'm not blaming him for that one incident. I'm blaming him for the whole fact that the team was out off the rails the whole game, whining and complaining. And then even at that point, how are you not, like, and how is he not in control of himself? And how is the coach not have these guys coach
as
to not
bad,
be that
as bad as the
mind?
Officiating was. And I think the officiating really let things get out of hand way more than they should have. And if you want to make the argument that it's playoff hockey, swallow your whistles, fine, whatever, but like they did not control that game, and that is their job. And I just think that if you're Babcock, you see that your team is crumbling because of that, and you don't reel them in, and you don't rein them in,
or have
and you
the
don't
foresight,
control
right.
your own roster.
Exactly.
You knew Boston would come out that way. It was so obvious. I mean, if they didn't, series is over, right? I mean, you know,
right.
before the game, you're coming out and you're getting their best physicality
In the first 10 minutes, in the first 10 minutes during a TV timeout, he should have gathered his team and just been like, this is how this team is going to play.
Right.
Yep. Stop complaining to the referees. It's not going to help your cause. Just play the game.
And this comes on the heels of them sleepwalking through like the last 3 weeks of the season, losing games to Ottawa. They could have taken the Bruins. They could have taken home ice. They had it in January, February. They had the lead. So this is a never ending. It's a spiral here that you kind of wonder, you know, if this team has it to even make this a series now.
The Cassidy quote is just money though. I'm talking about the knee on knee. It was clean. Looking back on it, shoulder to shoulder, Kadri stayed down. That's his prerogative. When you get hit, it's awesome.
nobody in this greater Boston area has any respect for Kadri.
I don't think anyone in the league has any respect.
Even Leafs fans
would 10 games suspension. Right. I mean, that tells you something.
Even Leafs fans would admit this guy's like a known embellisher.
No, they wouldn't. They would not.
Drama queen.
They're all tweeting and saying that he's the king of
England.
He's a great
player.
That's the thing that I don't get is, and I tweeted this out last night, why would you defend this guy? He has taken himself out of the lineup. He's one of your most important players. He gives you depth. It's one of your strongest advantages that you're so deep down the middle. He's taken himself out of the lineup 2 years in a row, possibly for the rest of the series.
And that goes back to your point about Marchand. When Marchand does the stuff that gets in the
special,
Boston would be hating him.
If Marchand did that, we'd be talking about this for 12 straight hours on the radio, how he is sabotaging this team and how he needs to be thrown out of the city.
And he's a much better player.
Yeah, right.
This is not even Kadri's good. All right, Player of the Week brought to you by Wise Snacks. That'll be next, and we'll get you ready for Wiggins, Reimer, and Bradford. Quite the combination. Fascinating matching of a line there. We'll see how that goes at 9 o'clock. They'll be at Fenway. We're here for another 15 minutes, the two-hour extravaganza of Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Sunday Skate with Ken Laird from the Mutt and Callahan Show and WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman. Sunday Skate is brought to you by Wise Snacks and by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins.
I was looking forward to this game ever since I was told I wasn't going to be an active participant in Thursday's game. So got to channel that, I think, in the right way in a constructive, controlled manner, and was able to make a little bit of impact today. It's almost a necessity there when you don't win game one, they're in your building for game two, and it's a necessity of a push back, or else you're tucking your tail and looking the other way, and that's not what this team's about. We've shown some great character all year, and we're in another dogfight against another great team and a 7-game series. So one game at a time. Look forward to Monday, get a rest so we can put the same sort of effort out in their building. When we'll keep it extra simple and play our game again.
That is David Backus. He is the Wise Snacks Player of the Week, brought to you by Wise Snacks.
Hey, I thought I was the Player of the Week.
Well, you called for the Player of the Week.
I'm coaching the team.
Good coach job. It was your article before game two or after game one?
After game one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, give Common credit. Wise Snacks Player of the Week, brought to you by Wise Snacks and the Wise Snacks Extra Cheesy Cheese Doodles and Bravo Stadium's Nachos, available now. And Backus is going to be in there for game three. There's no debating that. You guys have any predictions for how game three will go matchup-wise or changes? Anything? Obviously, we're waiting to see on the suspension.
Yeah, the
Krug's health, DeBrusque's health.
Well, I think Krug is out.
Clifton's health.
It's pretty clear, huh? I mean,
I would be surprised if Krug was in the lineup.
If you get that blown up that you don't come back after the protocol, he's in the protocol now, and I don't think you come back in your next game if you're in the protocol.
And they're already talking about bringing up replacements.
Right, exactly.
Not a lot of good signs there.
As far as the matchups last night, Chara and McAvoy played over 10 minutes against Tavares and Marner. So that Cassidy won, he got it.
Right.
Carlo played 8:45 against Matthews. Mm-hmm. So Brandon Carlo is obviously doing a pretty good job. And yep. Austin Matthews, not much there.
And Krug's number would have been the same almost if he hadn't gone out. So.
And Bergeron split time between Matthews and Tavares. So that was, as you said, it wasn't imperative he was out there against any one particular line.
I think pretty much every line got their chance. Maybe Krejci not as much, but everyone got their chance to take some licks at Tavares. And he kind of wilted a little bit. I didn't think he had nearly as good a game as he had in the first game.
Now, what will Babcock want he's going to try to get Tavares away from Chara and McAvoy whenever he can, right?
That for sure. And then he'll probably match up Tavares. Well, down the stretch, he was using Matthews as a shutdown center. So does that mean he puts him Matthews against Bergeron, figuring if you're not getting any points out of him, maybe you get defense out of him? That might be the case. I think it's up in the air at this point because, you know, clearly the Tavares thing might not be in his favor at home, actually.
Right. And you'll get the crowd, and I'm sure they'll come out looking for the response
and
in game three.
You know, again, I mean, don't want to pile on Mike Babcock because I'm sure he's listening right now. He's very upset with me. But,
yep.
I mean, Austin Matthews, you have to find a way to get this guy going. This is Tavares aside, Marner aside, this is the guy that you're building this team around, right? This is the kid who's going to be the next thing for 18, 20 years.
I don't think so. Mitch Marner's a better player. It's not even close.
Yeah, but. The center
it's pretty cool. I think Austin Matthews is a very good player.
Right. And you don't build teams around wings. You build the teams around centers. You know, even, you know, Patrick Kane has Taves, right? I mean, and that's when they were winning, wasn't when they were both at their best. You have to have this center. This is your franchise, and you can't get him going to find some points.
But if they find a way to get Tavares and Marner out there against Kampfer and Grizzlick, right. This could be a much different game.
But I don't think, I mean, that's going to happen. If the Bruins manage the puck the way they did in game one, but it doesn't happen that often when you play the right way. And if the Leafs are defending, they're not getting those changes. You know, the second period gets a little more difficult, but
yeah.
I think through the first two games, we've seen both of these teams play pretty much a full game the way that they want to play it.
Right.
And heading into game three, I'm more confident that the Bruins can play their game more than the Leafs can play theirs, because you look at game one and the Bruins shot themselves in the foot way more than the Leafs did in game two, at least in my mind.
Still a long series though, you thinking?
Yeah, for
six,
sure.
Six now or it seven is, yeah. I mean, now obviously five is as quick as it could go anyway, but you sweep there and have a chance to win it.
We haven't even had a coin flip overtime yet, so you never know.
I don't think anybody expected anything less than seven games. They shouldn't have.
We were kind of universal six on our predictions, I think, before the series started. But when I heard Kevin Miller was out, I think that could possibly be a game deciding thing. So I stretched it to seven.
I feel like every time the Bruins go to the playoffs, first series is going to go seven right. games. It's just the way that it goes.
Will we hear Pete Blackburn next week on Sunday Skate? He's been a true star 2 weeks in a row. We've got to get him on the payroll. That's first step. He's got a full-time gig at CBS thanks to Sunday Skate. He got the Sunday Skate bump. We're going to be back on, I think.
When's my bump coming?
Yeah, yours is coming. 7 to 9 available next week if you want to do it again, or we could just scale back to 8 to 9 because I didn't know you were going to pull an all-nighter just to make it by 7.
I'm already ready. We're doing two on Saturday and one on Sunday, right?
Well, no, that's in the work. We could do Saturdays available if we want to do Saturday after the game.
Of course.
So we might have a Saturday and Sunday Skate next week, but that's a lot. I'm not saying Pete can show up whenever he wants at this point because he's doing it for the promotion. So we'll do that next week. Thanks to John Anderson. Good producing today. This will be posted up at EI.com. You can listen later if you missed a lot of the show. Just wake it up. Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo from our Fenway Park studios. In that order of importance, Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo. That's coming up from 9 to noon and then Red Sox pregame. I'll be down at Fenway Park as well for the 12:05 pregame start. Enjoyed it. 1-1 series. It's going to be a good one. Read Matt Kalman at EI.com and follow Pete Blackburn on Twitter at Pete Blackburn. See you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.